So turn your Bibles, please, to two portions of the Word of God. The first one is found in Acts chapter 13. And the second one is found in Acts chapter 14. But to begin with, let's read some verses in Acts chapter 13. May we stand up, please? I'm going to read the first five verses of Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for the time we have spent in this church, in this conference. Thank you for what you have done in hearts of people. And thank you for the interest of the folks here in getting the gospel to other areas around the world through their missions program. I pray that you guide them to accomplish greater things for thee. I pray, Lord, that as they send out missionaries, they may rejoice upon the fact that souls are being saved, churches established, young men and women are being trained to carry on the Lord's work around the world. Now, Lord, I realize my own personal need, and I pray that the Holy Spirit may help me tonight in a very special way. Speak to those that are in need tonight, Lord. And perhaps there's someone here that ought to surrender his or her life to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. May this be the night, and may this be the place and the hour in which, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that person will tell the Lord, "Lord, here am I, send me." And may Christ be honored and glorified, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Let me see. As you saw the slides, you saw a young girl sitting at a desk. I would like to tell a story about her. She came from the island of St. Vincent and graduated from our school. And her dream was to start the first Christian school for her island. So she went back. She asked prayers before she went back and wrote letters asking people to pray for her vision to start a school. And she was praying, asking God, "God, how am I going to go about in doing this thing that you have laid on my heart?" So her father, who was a preacher, was invited to speak at a church in North Carolina and took her along. And the preacher of that church asked him to present his daughter. And then the pastor asked her, "Well, what are your plans?" And she said, "Well, if you give me 5 minutes, I'll tell you." So they asked her to come to the platform. And she said that she had the vision of starting the first Christian school on her island. And she was begging for prayers and for financial assistance. And the Lord touched the church. And just before the church service was over, somebody made a motion, "Pastor, I made a motion that we give some money to this young girl here to start a school."
Amen.
And somebody said, "How much money are you going to give her?" Somebody raised their hand, "Pastor, I make the motion that we should give her $12,000. Now, that's a lot of money.
Amen.
That's an
item. Yeah.
And she almost jumped out of her skirt when she heard that amount of money. But they gave her the $12,000. She went home, bought a piece of land. She designed the building herself. She sent me a copy of the blueprint. And she and some members of the church began to work in the building. They have built the building, and they started the first year school.
Amen. Amen.
And I believe that God is going to raise many servants of the Lord in that school.
Amen.
So God answered her prayers.
Yes,
and now she's serving the Lord in that little school that she has. She only has about kindergarten, first and second grade, but later on she'll be at another grade.
Yeah.
So thank God for what the Lord is doing there through Camille's Gibson's life. Okay, let's go into our message tonight. The title of this message is Principles and Practices for Missions Work. Really, this is just a summary of everything I have preached through the week. But first, let's look into the principles. And the first principle is this. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the calling. Look at verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So the Holy Spirit is the one that does the calling.
Amen.
Holy Spirit called these two men to be in a ministry that was greatly blessed of the Lord, with many, many people coming to know Christ as personal saviors.
Amen.
You know, if the Holy Spirit doesn't call people, they're not going to be called.
Right.
I was called by the Lord. Now, in my family, there were four boys, and my mother thought that perhaps one of us should be a preacher. And my mother wanted me to be a preacher. And many times she would tell me, you're going to be a preacher, you're going to be a preacher. And I got fed up doing that. Finally, one day when she said to me, "You're going to be a preacher," I just yelled at her. I said, "Mother, if I ever become a preacher, it's going to be because God wants me to be and not you.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. Hey, don't try to make your boy a preacher."
Amen.
Or a missionary. That's not your job.
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit's job.
Amen.
But at the age of 17, while I was attending a youth retreat, the Lord spoke to me.
Yeah.
And the Lord said to me, "Hey, this is not your mother. This is me."
Amen.
So, "What do you want, Lord?" "I want you to go and surrender yourself to preach."
Amen.
And so I went forward and I surrendered my life to preach the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
See, I know in my heart that it was the Lord that called me. The same way that he called Barnabas, and the same way that he called Saul. I'm sure that Raphael can give testimony to the fact that it was God that called him. Brother Alicia can give testimony to the fact that God called him. And Pastor Barker can give you testimony to the fact that it was God that called him into his service. So the Holy Spirit is the one that does the calling.
Amen.
The church does not do the calling. It's the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
But secondly, look in verse 1. Now when they were in, what is it there?
The church.
The church does the sending.
That's right.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit does the calling,
right,
and the church does the sending.
Amen.
Missionaries should be sent by local New Testament Bible-believing churches.
Amen. Right.
And if you see the prayer cards of each one of these missionaries, you'll see that all of us have been sent by a local church.
That's right.
Amen. A church that believes in missions, a church that is willing to support those that are going to preach the gospel. So the church does the sending. After these men were called, the church put hands on them. Look in verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, someday somebody's going to come there, talk to the pastor. "Pastor, I have been called to preach the gospel." And the pastor may ask you, "Well, what do you plan to do?" "Oh, I'm just going to pass out tracts and I'm going to preach in the..." "What church has sent you?" "Oh, no, I don't have a church send me. The Lord sent me." Now, listen. If the Lord sent him, a church would be sending him also.
That's right. Amen.
So these two men, after what they were called by the Holy Spirit, they were sent by a local New Testament church.
Right.
The
right.
church in Antioch.
Yeah.
And that is a principle which we independent Baptists believe.
That's right.
That they ought to be sent, they ought to be commissioned by a local church. Our home church in Puerto Rico commissioned Brother Rafael to be a missionary to his own people in Colombia. And that's why you see in his prayer cards sent by San Juan Baptist Temple. And the brother here, his own church in Hampton, Virginia.
Amen.
Also, his own church sent him.
Amen.
So, the Holy Spirit does the calling, the church does the sending.
Amen.
But, it doesn't stop there. The devil opposes. I mean, if we would ask Brother Leach, could you come up here and give us some of the experiences that you have had since you turned yourself to the Lord as to the opposition of Satan? I'm sure it can take 2 or 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Raphael could tell you stories as to the problems that the devil has put in the way to stop from being what God wants him to do. So here's the story. Look in here, beginning with verse 6. And when they had gone through the isles of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. This man had a great burden to hear the word of God.
Yep.
He wanted to know the truth. He wanted to know about Christ. He wanted to know the gospel. So he had a great desire. And he called Paul Barnabas. Hey, come over here and tell me about Jesus. Tell me the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from their faith. That's the work of the devil.
Right. That's right.
Turning people away from the faith.
Yeah.
Yes.
People come to church and they hear the word of God, and right, like the Lord Jesus Christ said in the parable of the in the parable of the seed, the Satan takes away the word of God.
Yeah.
So that they would not believe.
Right.
And so here is an instrument of Satan opposing the preaching of Paul to interfere in the life of one man that had great desire to learn the word of God. And then Saul, who is also called Paul, and from this verse on, instead of Saul, you'll see the name of Paul throughout the book of Acts of the Apostle. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy God, set his eyes on him. And you know, most people think that being filled with the Holy Spirit is to be very quiet, don't make too much noise, be humble, don't hurt anybody, don't talk too loud, but you don't know the Bible.
Amen.
Look what it says here. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eye on him and said, "Oh, full of subduity, of all mischief, thou child of the devil." That's strong words.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Thou enemy of all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Hey, he's saying that, being filled with the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And thou wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. You ought to be glad that it was for a season. Paul could have said, you'll be blind the rest of your life. But he had compassion. He said, for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Those were very strong words.
That's right.
Remember the Lord Jesus Christ preaching? The Lord Jesus Christ was a man filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. And he called the Pharisees vipers, children of the devil. I mean, he uses some vocabulary here that some people say, oh, he should have not used that. Well, the Lord knew them. That's what they were. That's what they were.
That's right.
And so the Holy Spirit led Paul here to curse this man, and the man became blind for a season. But look at the result. Look at the result of the thing. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. What doctrine? Paul was telling him, listen, the Son of God came. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He went up to heaven. He's going to come back again. And the man was astonished as to the doctrine because of what happened. Sometimes God has to take drastic measures to make people realize the power of the gospel. Sometimes God has to use very drastic measures to make people recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. By the way, if you're not saved, don't wait till the Lord does that in your life.
Yeah.
If you're not saved, don't wait till the Lord has to use the belt.
Yeah.
Just open your heart to Christ and be saved.
Amen.
So this deputy, after he has heard the word of God, after he has seen the miracles, then he turned his life to Christ and was saved. In one of the churches that we established in Puerto Rico, in fact, it was the second week of the church, we had a lady that was saved. And 2 weeks later, we were having a Bible study. And while I was teaching the Word of God, this lady that had just gotten saved raised her hand and said, "Excuse me, Pastor." I'm always cautious when somebody's trying to interrupt what I'm teaching or preaching. But somehow, the Lord impressed me. She's a new believer. Let her say what she wants. So I said, "Yes, ma'am, what do you want?" She looked at me and said, "Pastor, does the Bible work today as it did in years gone by?" I said, "What kind of a question is that?" Then I realized that she was a new believer. I said, "Yes, ma'am. Is the Word of God is still alive today?" And then she said, "Well, Pastor, I just read there the other day there was a woman that could not conceive. And she wanted a child. And she prayed to God. And God gave her a child."
Amen.
And then she said, "Pastor, does that work today?"
Amen.
I said, "Well, it's God's word."
Amen.
And then she began to cry. She said, "Pastor, my husband and I, we've been married 7 years. The doctor told him that I cannot conceive. The doctor said I cannot have children." Oh, with tears going down her cheek, she said, "Pastor, I would like to have a child. Could you pray that God will give me a child?" And without thinking, "Pastor," I said, we'll pray for you. Come over here." And we have her nailed in front. And then there were about 10, 15 people in the Bible study. I said, "All of us come here. Let's lay hands on this lady. Let's pray for Sister Ada that God will give her a boy. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name for you to be merciful on Sister Anna. Please, Lord, touch her and make her conceive a boy for your glory." She went home. And 9 months later, she came to church with a baby.
Yes!
I had the privilege of dedicating that baby to the Lord.
Amen.
You know, as a result of that, her husband got saved.
Amen.
And as a result of that, her husband was called to preach.
Amen.
And he said, he's the pastor of one of the churches in Puerto Rico.
Amen.
Oh, sometimes God does wonderful things so people realize that God is still under control. God is still powerful enough to do whatever He wants.
Amen.
When Paul prayed, said, pray for this man to become blind, God heard him. And as a result of that, the deputy was saved. And I'm sure that many more people, as a result of that, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior.
Right, right.
So, the devil hates people that preach the gospel. Look in the book of 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You talk about opposition from the devil. I mean, sometimes you have a little headache. "Oh, I'm not going to church. I have a little headache. Oh, I'm not going to church. My back hurts. I don't know what to do." What do you read about Paul?
Yeah,
Why don't you read about Paul? Look here. Look what it says here. Of the Jews, five times receive ice, 40 stripes, say one. 39 stripes, three times. Thrice was I beaten with rods.
What chapter?
That's chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, beginning with verse 24. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwrecks. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger, in thirst, in fasting often, in cold, in nakedness. I mean, the prisons in those days were not like today.
Right.
Yeah. In Puerto Rico, Pastor, in Puerto Rico have a prison that is called, it's a federal prison. It's called the Hilton. I mean, they have air-conditioned cells, color TVs, three good meals a day. One man was sent there 5 years for robbing a gas station. And after he finished the 5 years, they let him go. And 3 days later, he was back in there. He robbed another gas station so he could be back. And they asked me, what did you do? Well, I got 3 square meals a year. I have a nice bed. I have color TV and nice gymnasium. Why should I go? But that was not the way they were in those days. Jails in those days usually was a hole in the ground. There was no food. People had to bring you food. There was no uniforms. Most times they were putting down there naked in cold weather. You talk about suffering. Every time I have a little suffering, I said, well, Paul had it worse.
Yeah.
And it comforts me. Yeah. This man really suffered because the devil didn't want him to go forward. But he never gave up.
Amen.
He never gave up. Continue faithfully preaching. In weariness, in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger, in thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. These are those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. You think Satan was trying to destroy him? Certainly he did. But he kept his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he finished the course, and the Lord gave him the reward that he deserved. So Satan opposes the work of the Lord.
Yeah.
The work of the Lord is not easy.
Amen.
Because we have a tremendous enemy that would like to do anything from stopping us to do the Lord's work.
Right.
I can tell you a story that will make you scare as to the things that happened to me. The devil tried to kill me one time in Dominican Republic. I went to hold meetings in there. Many souls were saved. And the last meeting was on a Sunday night, and the campaign was so successful that the pastor was so happy. He said, I'm going to take you out to eat to a nice restaurant. I said, well, yeah, I like to eat. Let's go. So he and his wife and myself, we went to this very nice restaurant, and I ordered some fish, and the fish was poison, and I almost died. In fact, I heard the doctor that was attending me, let him alone. He's dying. Leave him alone. There's nothing we can do. If it were not for a Christian nurse that was there, I wouldn't be here today. Satan tried to kill me in that place. Because I had another meeting next week. Well, that Christian nurse told the doctor, do something. Don't let him die. Don't let him die. And then the doctor put me 5 cc's of potassium in each arm and told the nurse, every hour for the next 12 hours, you're going to put potassium in his veins. And I was there for 12 hours. The nurse right beside me, and she kept putting that potassium. And then 12 hours later, I woke up. took the telephone and I called my wife. I said, honey, I have a confession to make. Yes. I want to tell you that I spent the night with another woman. What? Yes. Then I explained to her. And you know, my wife wanted to get to know that nurse. We brought her to Puerto Rico later on. She came to Puerto Rico. My wife was so thankful for what she did for me. If it were not for that, I would not be here today. But you know, after I was able to recuperate, I could not walk. Something happened that I lost the use of my legs. And they had to carry me. They carried me in a chair. I went to the other next church. I preached from the chair. Gained the invitation. 7 men walked out there to receive Christ. Men. So the 3 nights that we were there, we had a good number of people coming to know Christ as personal. Listen, Satan is not through yet. Satan would love to destroy this church, like I said the other day.
Yeah.
Satan would love to attack the work of the Lord. We have to be on guard.
Yeah.
Watch it continually. Pleading the Lord to give us the victory. So, the Holy Spirit does the calling. The church does the sending. Satan opposes, but the Lord always works.
Amen.
The Lord always works.
Amen.
So those are some of the principles. Now let's go to some of the practices. What are the practices? Go back to chapter number 14, please. Chapter 14. The first practice in the missionary work is this: the preaching of the Word of God. Now, if you carefully examine this portion of the Word of God, you will see that in a good number of places it is mentioned about them preaching Christ, announcing the good news of salvation. Everywhere they went proclaiming the gospel of Christ. In chapter 7, verse 14, and there they preached the gospel. In chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel, in chapter 14, verse 25, and they had preached the word. So the number one practice for mission work is preaching.
Amen.
Proclaim the good news of salvation.
Right.
Announce it that Christ is the Savior. Yes. That people need to repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ to be saved.
Yes.
Preaching. Like I mentioned, I think it was yesterday. This nation was developed through the means of preaching. It's too bad that in this generation we do not have old-fashioned preachers like we used to have years ago.
Yes, right.
And I'm afraid that the reason for which the nation is going down the hill is because we do not have strong men that are willing to stand up and do what Nathan did and say, thou art the man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, when Clinton committed that awful sin that he did, Billy Graham should have gone to him and said, hey, you're the man. What you've done is wrong.
Right.
He didn't.
Yeah.
That's right.
He didn't.
Amen.
And a lot of other preachers in this nation, they knew that was wrong.
That's right.
But nobody wanted to say anything.
Right.
And a lot of preachers in the nation, they know that Obama is not doing right.
Yeah.
But nobody has the guts to go and say, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's not right what you're doing.
Right. Amen.
We need to pray for God to raise a voice.
Amen.
To preach the word of God as it is.
Yeah.
To men as they are.
Yeah.
The reason for which so many people were saved under the ministry of Paul, it was because he preached.
Right.
He preached.
Right.
He was never tired of preaching. Dr. Bunker Sr. used to say that when Paul would go to a new place, he would send somebody to the synagogue and then he would send somebody to the jail. So check me the synagogue and then check me the jail. Because if I go to the synagogue to preach, I'm going to wind up in jail.
To
be sure that the jail is okay. He continued preaching, preaching. He never got tired of preaching.
Amen.
Witnessing to people.
Amen.
Because he knew that the power of God and salvation is through the preaching of the Word of God.
Yes,
to some people, preaching, as the Bible says, foolishness. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
So preaching. But not only preaching. Look at verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many. Oh, they spent hours teaching people. They spent hours fulfilling the commission in the matter of preaching and in the matter of teaching. They taught a lot of people. The people that were saved and converted, they began to teach them that thus says the Lord. I'm sure that they taught them how the prophecies were fulfilled, how the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled over 100 prophecies, right to the letter. I'm sure that Paul taught these people about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how we are to live before while we wait for His coming. The Bible says here in verse 21, they had taught many. Teaching is very important. It's wonderful to teach to our young people that are in the college so they can learn the Word of God. They can learn to discern. Some of our students come without any knowledge at all. Some of them that have just got the saved, called to preach, they don't even know how to find the book of Proverbs.
Yeah.
But what a blessing is to see them grow.
Amen.
Grow.
Amen.
And then they become great servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Serving the Lord. Winning people to Christ. Announcing the good news of salvation to others.
Amen.
Getting people saved. Organizing churches, doing the Lord's work. Teaching is very, very important. And then look in verse 22 of chapter 14, confirming the souls of the disciples. The confirming is to unite them into a body, explaining to them their duty, teaching them. Hey, now that you are saved, you ought to be together with other believers. You ought to get together for the breaking of bread. You ought to get together for prayer. You ought to get together for worshiping the Lord. And so, there they are, confirming. That is, getting the believers together into a group so they can depend upon each other and upon the Lord. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them. The exhortation means, hey, there are certain things that you should not do. There are certain things you can do. There are certain things you should not do. You know, most people don't like to read or hear about the things they should not do.
Yeah.
In fact, some people like to hear only the positive side of the Christian life.
Yeah.
Don't tell me they don't do's. I want to hear the do's.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible said they're exhorting, explaining to them, this is the way that you are to live. This is the way that you are to behave. This is that you should not do these things.
Yeah.
You should do this and you should not do these things. So people don't like the negative part.
Yeah, that's true. Good.
They like to hear the good. The good, positive part.
Yeah.
But God put them in the Bible. They're right there.
Amen.
And so people don't like the preacher. Hey, preacher, don't tell us about those things. Please. We don't want to hear that. What's in the Bible? And if the preacher is going to be faithful to the Lord, he has to communicate them.
Yeah. Right.
He has to tell them. He has to preach the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
Exhorting people to continue in the faith. And look what he says here. He told them, through much tribulation. I don't think the prosperity people read this verse.
Yes.
Maybe it's not in the Bible. Maybe they have a different version.
Oh, yeah.
It has not this verse. But in my Bible, in my King James Bible, as well as my Spanish Bible, it says, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God.
Right.
The Christian life is not an easy thing.
Yeah.
That's right. The Christian's life is not easy.
Right.
You're going to be faithful to the Lord? Expect tribulation.
Right.
You want to be faithful to the cause of Christ? Expect tribulation.
Right.
Paul experienced all those tribulations that I mentioned to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And he told the folks, hey folks, I want to tell you something. It's not going to be easy. Through much tribulation, we're going to enter into the kingdom of God. So, he preached the gospel to them. He taught them. He confirmed them and put them together to be in the faith. And then, look what he did in verse 23. He ordained elders in each church. So a man that the hand of God was upon that individual, and Paul would say, hey, come here, I think God's hand is upon you. I'm going to train you so you can become a church, the pastor of this church. He ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And so that was the ministry. Preaching, teaching, confirming, that is organizing them in the faith.
Amen.
And then ordaining a pastor. And after you finish that process, you move to the next place. And his first missionary journey, that's all he did. And then, let me tell you, to conclude, let me tell you about the first missionary conference in the Bible. It's in the Bible.
Amen.
It's right there in the Bible. When they finished the first missionary conference, when they finished the first journey, missionary journey, they went back to the church that sent them. What was the church that sent them? Antioch. So they finished the journey and came back to the church that had sent them. And look what happened. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the doors of faith unto the Gentiles. So they had a mission conference. Paul and Barnabas gave a report. They didn't show slides because they didn't have slides. They didn't have a projector. In fact, they didn't even have electricity in those days. But I'm sure that Paul got up there and said, listen, I went to this place and I was trying to reach this man for Christ and this crazy Jewish guy, a false priest, was hindering me, and I put a curse on him and God blinded him. And when the man saw what God had done, he believed and accepted the doctrine of God. Then he went on and explaining the things that happened from one place to another, one place, giving a report. That's what mission conference is all about, folks.
Amen.
Amen. See, we come here, we tell you. You pray for us. You give us money. Now we can tell you souls have been saved.
Amen.
Churches have been established.
Yes.
Young men have been called to preach.
Praise the Lord.
Young men have been trained.
Amen.
It's because you gave and because you prayed.
Right.
So a missionary conference is a means of reporting to the church what God has done. And that's what Paul and Barnabas did. They reported to the church that sent them. I hope that this is not the last conference you're going to have. I think you're going to have it every year.
Amen.
Where the missionaries will come here and will give you a report as to what God has done and as to the possibility of what God wants to do. And by the way, I always recommend all my supporting pastors to go to the mission field. In fact, most churches do have a special fund. I don't know if you have it in here, but most churches have a special fund designated for the pastor to go to one of the mission fields to check on the missionaries. Because one thing is for me to show you the slides that are there and get up here and tell you that souls have been saved, But another thing is for your pastor to go to the mission field
Amen.
And find out whether what I'm telling you is true or not.
Amen.
Because folks, believe it or not, not all the missionaries are honest.
That's right.
There's some crooks out there. I was holding a missionary conference in Jacksonville, Florida, and the other speaker was Dr. Warren Wiersbe. I'm sure that you have heard of him.
Yeah.
And after the first service, he came to talk to me and said, Brother Mike, I want to tell you about a lady that we have in Puerto Rico. She's doing a great work there. And he gave me the name of the lady. I said, do you know her? And I said, sir, I know all the independent Baptist missionaries in Puerto Rico, and I don't know that lady. No, you must know her. She's doing a terrific job. We get this report that she's leading hundreds and thousands of children and young people to Christ. And I said, Dr. Wiersbe, I tell you, I know all the independent Baptist missionaries in Puerto Rico, and I don't know that lady. I never heard of her. And then he kept telling me about her, and the more he told me about it, the more I realized that something was wrong. And I said, Dr. Wiersbe, you know what you're going to do? You're going to take a trip to Puerto Rico and find out about that lady. And if you cannot, you're going to send an investigator, a private detective, to go and find out about her. And so that's what he did. He hired a private detective, and the private detective went down to Puerto Rico and followed instructions which Dr. Wiersbe told him, and found this lady living in one of the most wealthiest complex in Puerto Rico. I mean, only wealthy people live in that place. And there she was, living like a king, like a queen. And then, when it was time to send a report, she would go to a poor section of one of the barrios and bring a bag of candies, and kids would flock to her to get the candy. And then and send those things to him.
Oh, man.
Wow. She was deceiving the church.
Right.
That's why I say, hey, from time to time, you ought to send your pastor to the mission to check on your missionaries.
Amen.
Because one thing is for me to tell you this, and one thing is another thing is for your pastor to come and see firsthand.
Amen.
That's what the Lord is doing.
Yeah.
That was the first missionary conference in the Bible.
Amen.
When Paul and Barnabas gave a full report as to what the Lord has done. And some people say, hey, missionary conference, that was invented by the pastor. No, that was not invented by the pastor. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible. It's Bible to come to your church to give a report.
Amen.
It's scriptural to come to the church and report as to what the Lord is doing. So praise the Lord for the fact that those principles that follow, that were used in sending Paul and Barnabas to the first missionary journey are the same principles that God uses today. The Holy Spirit does the calling. The church does the sending. There's a lot of opposition, but God always has the victory. The missionaries go out to preach the gospel. They are to teach people. They are to organize churches. They are to ordain men, qualify men, and then they are to move to another section to start all over again. That's missionary work. Faith in action. And you have a part in that.
Amen.
Every time that you put your faith promise, is for that purpose.
Amen.
Every time that you put money in the place for missions, is for that purpose.
Amen.
So that the commission of Christ can be taken around the world in reaching multitudes with the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
May the Lord help us to be faithful.
Amen.
You know, God is still looking for somebody.
Amen.
God is still looking for a girl here that would like to say, Lord, here's my life.
Amen.
Let me tell you the story about Isabel Kuhn. Isabel Kuhn was a teenage girl, about 17 years of age. She was attending a youth camp. And a missionary from I think it was in Africa or someplace out there, came and gave a report. And when she finished the report, she said, you know, I just turned 75 and my mission board doesn't want me to go back to my mission field. I'm praying for God to raise somebody to take my place. And perhaps that person is here. And Isabel Kuhn's heart began to beat. She felt the call of God. You raise your hand and give to the missionary. I'll take your place. I'll go. 17 years of age. She talked to the missionary prayed for her. When the wood was over, Isabel Kuhn ran home excited. Went to the house, called on her mother. Mother, mother, guess what? God has called me to be a missionary. I'm going to go to a missionary to Africa. And the mother said, over my dead body, you're not going to go. You're my only daughter. I need you here. But mother, God called me. I got to go. No. Isabel couldn't finish high school. And told her mother, mother, I got to go to Bible school. Well, if you go, I'm not going to help you. Isabel Kuhn went to Moody Bible Institute, which in those days was a good school. For 3.5 years, Isabel Kuhn went to school from 8 o'clock until 3 o'clock. And from 4 o'clock until 9 o'clock, she worked into a restaurant washing dishes. For 3.5 years. Burned her hands continually. We finally she graduated. Her mother never sent her a penny. Never. Went back home and told mother, mother, I have finished my studies. Now I gotta make ready to go to the mission field. And the mother said, over my dead body, you're never gonna go. I need you here. God can find somebody else. No, but he found me. Isabel Kuhn did her deputation, raised her body, came to her mother and said, mother, I'm going to buy the ticket for the boat that is going to take me to the mission field. And the mother said, no. No, you're not going to go over my dead body. Isabel Kuhn went and bought the ticket, came home, and said to her mother, mother, I'm leaving next week. I got to obey God. You know what happened? Her mother dropped dead. Isabel Kuhn buried her mother. Took a boat. Spent over 35 years on the mission field. Led a lot of children to the Lord. Led a lot of ladies to the Lord. Helped to establish churches. God used her in a mighty way. Became a hero of modern missionary movement. You can read her story in the book In the Arena about Isabel Kuhn. And you know, perhaps, Pastor, there's another Isabel Kuhn in here.
Amen.
Yeah. Perhaps God wants to use one of these girls going into some foreign country to help communicate the word of God to others. If you are that person, just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to go.
Man.
Perhaps there's another Paul in here whom God wants to call. Or whom God is already calling. And he's expecting someone to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. God is seeking for somebody to continue the ministry which Paul and Barnabas began. Let's pray to the Lord.